see the list of sins he gives. And then in chapter 2, he's saying, and you religious people have also missed it. But he is saying in the verse you mention, it is terms of doing rather than claiming that is significant in religion. He's not saying that anyone can earn salvation, because the climax is reached in chapter 3, 19 to 21, where he says no man has any hope of acceptance before God on the basis of works. So we mustn't interpret any of the prior verses contrary to his conclusions of the argument.
The Bible does say a fair bit about sin, though, Des. It says in 1 John...
Very much so. There'd be no cross without it.
That's right. Well, it says in 1 John 3, verse 9, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin.
Let me comment on that one, too. You'll find in the first chapter it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And you'll find in the last chapter, chapter 5 of 1 John, it says, if any man see a brother sin, a sin. So the epistle is not saying that Christians don't sin, but it is saying that a true Christian cannot sin with a high hand, a presumptuous, high-handed, defiant sin. That is not for the Christian. That's what that passage is saying. The Lord who told us to pray, forgive us our trespasses, did not teach perfectionism.
Terry, thank you for your call. I must leave you there and go on to Andrew. Good evening, Andrew.
Hello. Can I speak to Mr. Ford?
He's listening.
Good. Just one point. I'm reading a couple of books which are being handed out in the city at the moment in King's Cross. One's called Steps to Christ, and the other one's here, it's called Desire of Ages. Now, they're two books by this Mrs. E.G. White. They would have to be the best, most powerful two books I've read on...
They're great books, Terry. Andrew, rather. They're great books, but the writer wouldn't want you to put them ahead of the Bible, not for a moment.
They're beautiful books on the life of Christ.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I'm just wondering what you thought of them.
I think highly of them.
Very good. Now, something else. A chap called Frank rang earlier. He was talking about the Waldensians. I've got in front of me, I'm a student of history, and there's three volumes by J.A. Wiley, The History of Protestantism, and another volume, The History of Waldenses, written a couple hundred years ago. And they give a very good documentation on the fact that the Waldenses did begin before Waldo.
Yes, that's an old classic. It's not without mistakes historically, but the position it takes is still supported by some modern church historians. The issue is still open to debate.
Interesting.
Okay, Andrew, thank you very much for your call. Good evening, Jean. Good evening, Jean. Come in, Jean. Okay, let's talk to Stan. Good evening, Stan.
Good evening, Gordon.
I'm delighted to speak to you. You want to talk to Dr. Ford?
Yes. Dr. Ford, I was lent a book by a Seventh-day Adventist some years ago. I don't know the name of it nor the author. It was, however, an excellent historical treatise and dealt with the Adventism. It seemed to me that that book claimed that Seventh-day Adventists were the chosen few who are saved. Now, is that the Seventh-day Adventists' teaching?
The official Adventist teaching, as expressed by their foremost writer, is that the majority of true Christians are in other communions. That's stated very clearly in the book Great Controversy. But there is a tendency towards arrogance when Adventism suggests that the last remnant of history will be a Seventh-day Adventist remnant. This does border on spiritual arrogance and is sadly deficient in Christian grace at that point.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Stan, for your call. I must go now, Stan. We've got a number of other callers. Gwen, you'd like to make a comment.
Yes, look, Doctor, I'd like to make a comment on Leviticus, on chapter 11.
Yes, about the clean and unclean foods.
Yes. Yes, now, I can't grasp that really, because I thought that all food put on this earth was good food.
Gwen, let me comment. You probably don't eat rats and alligators and so on, but if you're asking about the issue of clean and unclean foods, the New Testament does not teach any such distinction. All ceremonial distinctions ceased at the cross of Christ, which they pointed to. Adventists believe that there may be health reasons also on this matter of dietary restrictions, and the best informed Adventists today do not believe in ceremonial uncleanness as such, but they may choose to follow the admonitions for health reasons.
All right. Gwen, thank you for that call, and Des, all too shortly, our time's come to an end.
Gordon, thank you for the opportunity. It's been good to be with you.
Now, I want to say, if you want to have any of the writings of Dr. Desmond Ford, or if you want to make contact with him, I'm going to give you a number now that you can ring. I guess you don't do it now because he's not at that number. He's with me in the studio. But you ring tomorrow, any time, on 486686. 486686 if you'd like to make contact with Dr. Desmond Ford. This is Sunday Night Live with Gordon Moyes. I'll be with you just after the news, and I invite you to call me on 269-0669. 269 0669. This is Sunday Night Live with Gordon Moyes, and after the news, I'm going to be back with the Toastmasters, with John Waterhouse, with Fred Wanmaker, with a wonderful program. So 269 0669.